Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, the title is Stop Hitting Me. Domestic violence is a hidden truth in many families. There are men, women, and children who are victims of abuse within their homes at the hands of the people who they love the most. Continued domestic violence very often leads to a tragic end for the entire family. What is domestic abuse? What are the signs? How is domestic abuse destroying our families? What are the effects on the children? And what can be done to stop it? Is there hope for the family? Again, thank you for joining us on today, Friday, April 29th, 2016, as we begin to discuss a matter that touches home with some people and may touch home with quite a few people because they've dealt with it either from past experience growing up as a child or they're possibly in it now. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines on tonight. I'm your host for tonight, Kenny Johnson, and then I have my beautiful wife on the line, Kwajalein. Are you there?
I am. Hello.
All right. I'm opening up the line for the first caller. Caller in again, 6770. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Kwajalein. This is Michelle.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor?
Hello.
I'm doing great. Hello, Pastor. Can't wait to hear the show. Very excited about it tonight.
Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
thank
you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Our next caller, Indigan 4620. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. How's everybody?
Great. How are you?
I'm excited about the call tonight.
Well, all right. Well, we're definitely glad to have you on the show with us tonight. We'll definitely keep the lines open for you, and if you all have anything that you want to interject or add into the conversation, then you're definitely welcome to do so.
Thank you.
All right, honey.
Okay, this is a very sensitive topic, but a very important topic, and it's something that we do need to address. Because there are a lot of people that are in domestic violence situations. They're in abusive relationships, and some people don't even realize that they are in an abusive relationship. So first, I want to start off with giving the definition of domestic violence so that we can better understand what we're talking about. They also consider it as spousal abuse. However, we know that you do not necessarily have to be in a marriage to be in a abusive situation. The definition is a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power and control over another intimate partner. This includes physical assault, battery, sexual assault, and other abusive behaviors. There are different types of violence: physical violence, sexual violence, psychological violence, emotional violence. So we have to know that, you know, it's not just physical, because I think sometimes that's exactly what we think about. Some people think about when we think about domestic violence, but it's not just physical. And it also occurs in all ethnicities, you know, different religious backgrounds. It's not just one particular. And we also have to, I would also like to point out that domestic violence is not only by men against women. However, there are some women who are also violent who abuse their husbands. Now, we don't hear a lot about those. We don't hear as much about those as we hear about women being abused by men, and I do believe there are probably different factors, you know, different reasons for that, and you all can interject on that if you would like. But I believe personally that one reason is because a lot of men are ashamed of being in a relationship with an abusive wife or an abusive girlfriend. And so they are ashamed because they are the men. And so they don't stand up and say anything, and they just continue on in the abusive relationship. Does anybody have anything they would like to say so far? Babe, is there anything you would like to say?
Yes. Also, when it comes to the abuse, that includes the violent crimes such as the hitting, you know, the sexual abuse or even the stalking. Say, for instance, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend decides she wants to break up a boyfriend or vice versa, and the other person tends to stalk them at their home or stalk them on their job. That definitely is also a form of domestic violence. So, and then you have where a lot of people probably had never thought of it until now, but they're also, when it comes to, as Kwajana said earlier, the man or the person that's being the domineering in the abusive relationship, they can also financially abuse somebody by withholding funds from you know, say wife or their girlfriend, and causing them not to be able to do what they need to do when it comes to, you know, meeting their basic needs in the household, being able to buy food, being able to go out and get gas because your car doesn't have gas in it, and he's trying to prevent you from going anywhere, or he even wants you not to work. So, I mean, they're all forms of domestic violence. And if I may, honey, we have two more calls that just joined in. If I can bring them in, if that's okay.
That's fine.
All right, callers in again. Caller in again. 1-844. You're on the air. All right. Call in 1-844. You're on the air. You can just introduce yourself. If you have anything to say, you're definitely welcome. And we'll keep your line open for you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Can
How
hear
are
me?
You? Yes.
I'm good. How are you doing, Pastor Kenny? How are you doing, Pastor Claudia?
Outstanding, missionary.
Hey, Mish.
I just think it's a great topic. It just brought me back to a time when I was younger. And I was in an abusive relationship, you know, with my son's father. So, I feel it's a great topic. You know, it was just emotional and physical abuse, you know, and then it just took me a minute, but, you know, I got away from it with the help of my mom and my grandmother at the time, you know, but I still had to deal with them because we did have a child. It got better when I got away, you know, and I didn't have that mental like stronghold. He didn't have that on me anymore. So just have to say this is, you know, a great topic. I hope somebody, you know, out there just learns from my experience or other people's experience so that they, if they're in an abusive relationship, that they can get out. Or if, you know, they're, you know, dating around, that if one comes along, that they'll know the signs and just get away.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Missionary J, for sharing your testimony and your comments. And we're going to keep your lines open. So if you have anything else you want to add, you're definitely welcome to do so.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Let's see here. The next caller we have, caller ending in 8860. You're on the air. You can just tell us, you know, a little bit about yourself, or you can just share how you heard about the show. But you're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing?
What the hell, Big Dope?
Yeah, I must be late because I did log in. It seems like y'all already been talking, so I'm just trying to catch up on the conversation. And, I'm just here. I put same put in once I get caught up on what's going on. But I really can't speak on the subject too much because I ain't never been in one. But I see what I put my input in where I can.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, thank you. I do want to go ahead and go over some more things because it actually is a lot to cover here. We've already talked about that anyone can be a victim, but we also have to remember that anyone can be a victimizer. And I know that sometimes we believe because somebody is a Christian or because they are a police officer or, because they are an upstanding member of the community that they would not do anything like that. However, according to the research I've done on this topic, about 90% of abusers obey the law, are law-abiding citizens outside of the home. And so that's one thing that we have to remember is that a lot of abusers, they are in the business of manipulation because that's what it is. It is manipulation. When you're hiding who you really are, hiding what you're doing, you're trying to control, your victim. A lot of them are in that business because they want to have that control. They control what people know about them, what people do not know about them. And so we have to keep that in mind. That just because you are a judge, just because you are, whatever you are, whatever, you are in the community, whatever position you hold in the community does not mean that that person cannot be an abuser.
Right, I agree. And if I may add, lots of times, just as Quadlin said, there are people that are upstanding members in the community. All right, and I know when I first experienced or encountered domestic violence, a domestic dispute, it was with my mom and her boyfriend, and things were getting out of hand. Really quick, and things were on a downward spiral really fast. And I remember I was, about 6 or 7 years old, and I had got hit by a car. And when I got hit by a car, that left me in the hospital for a while. I was in the hospital for about 3 months. And I wound up getting home out of the hospital, and I came home and he used to always get, drunk, and they both used to drink a lot. But he messed around and he started mingling and dipping into drugs. And the drugs, definitely caused him to become a different person once he was under the influence of, whatever drug it is he was using. Most of the time, he would come in and he would want to jump on my mom and hit her if she didn't give him money, things of that nature. And so one night he decided to do it, and then, I got up with my crutch on, with my crutches and my cast on, and I hit him in the head with my crutch, because he had hit my mom really hard. So, I mean, kids are even affected by this a lot, okay? There are a lot of times, where parents, we might not see it that way, but we can be having a heated dispute or a heated discussion, and the underlying issues, it really does and really can affect your children. So I just wanted to kind of add that in there. That's okay.
Well, you actually brought up something else that I was going to discuss, and so I would like to ask your opinion and also our callers if they have one. When you stated that when your mom's boyfriend, when he used drugs, he became a different person. And that's one thing that they say is that a lot of abusers, they blame their abuse on something, on alcohol. They blame it on stress. They blame it on drugs. They blame it you know, on something else. However, we do know that there are people who may do drugs, alcohol, and they are not abusers. Actually, some of them, they're really sweet. So my question would be, do you believe that there's already an underlying factor there, or do you believe that it is that some people actually become abusive as a result of alcohol and drugs?
Well, if I may add, there are most of the time, not in all cases, but there are most of the time, you know, underlying issues that have been lying dormant, you know, probably from their past, growing up and seeing certain things and being exposed to certain ways of living, that, you know, when they get older, you know, it tends to roll over into their life, and it becomes a part of them. It becomes a part of their personality and who they are. But it really isn't activated until they're in a situation which is, you know, where they're in a committed relationship with each other, whether it's being married or their boyfriend or girlfriend and have been for a while. Then also, you know, just from alcohol abuse and drugs. So, I mean, it can go both ways in all honesty. That's just my opinion.
Does anyone have anything else they would like to say about that?
Well, what I would like to say if, you know, I was part of domestic abuse. And sometimes we as women did have that man figure in our life, and we just out looking for that man figure, but that wasn't my case. I was just married to a man that was just totally abusive, not only mental, but just totally physically abusive. And I had to make the decision for myself to get out of that, because it was bringing my son, about to make my son a nervous wreck, and that meant more to me than anything. And I decided to get out because I know it wasn't good for my son, and I wasn't going to have him where he would think this was okay for men to do, because it wasn't okay. And sometimes I would say, you know, we as women, and I would say the same thing as men, that we know when something is not good for us. We are the first ones to know when something is not good for us. But for some reason, we will not get out of that situation. But I'm so thankful to God that I was smart enough and got out of it, because it was just going to be a total disaster. I would say sometimes either he was going to kill me or I would kill him, and I didn't want that. I didn't want that on my hands. So I just got out one day when he was at work. I just packed everything and I left. So I think sometimes we, you know, we be looking, and as I said, that wasn't my case, because I was raised with my mother and father. I never saw my father beat on my mother, and I've always heard my father say, this is the type of man that you are supposed to have in your life, one that loves you, care for you, cherish you, thank the world of you. But there was some issues going on with him somewhere. And whatever those issues were, I have to this day not to know what they are. But I know that I couldn't be a part of his issue. I had to get out.
So I have a question. Do you believe that because you did have that security with your dad, that it gave you the courage to leave? That you had that, you know, security from what your dad had taught you and everything, do you think that gave you the courage to leave?
You know, maybe it played a part in it. I don't know. But the situation that I was in, I'll never forget. My dad asking me one day why I never told them that. And I told my dad I made my bed and I had to lie in it until I was able to get out of it. And I said, and I just didn't bother you all with it. So I maybe it played a part in it, but I also had to say to myself it was for the love that I had for my son and my daughter that it was time for me to go.
Right. And the reason I ask that is because we do have a lot of women, like you said, there are a lot of women that are in these relationships and they are looking for that. They're looking for that void to be filled. And so sometimes they will stay because they feel like it's better than what they have. And we know that it is very important, you know, for our fathers to be involved in our lives. And we know that they are the first ones, you know, that should show us, because we do have a lot of fathers that are not involved,
how a man is
supposed to treat us. And so when you get in this relationship and you see it's not the right thing, you were aware that it wasn't the right thing. But there are some women out there who truly, truly are not aware that this isn't the right thing. They feel like they're not, you know, they feel like it's normal. They feel like they don't deserve any more than that, you know. So I do think that in a lot of cases, although, you know, your reason for leaving was, you know, for your children, I do think that in a lot of cases when our fathers are there, they, you know, they instill something in us that show us our value.
Right.
And so it makes it, we know more of our value than some who, you know, fathers are not there. And that's not in every case. That's not in every case, because you have some women that grew up with their fathers not present and they know their value. But I'm speaking for those who don't, you know, who don't know.
And I respect that. And as you follow my posts a lot, you see my granddaughters. I'm not dating, and I choose not to date, right, you know, just to go out there and say find someone on my own. That's not what the word told me to do, and that's not how my spirit leads me. And I just don't believe in bringing men around my granddaughters. I don't believe in that, because I know if abuse happened that way with one of my granddaughters, for someone you think you really know them and you really don't know them, I just don't do it. And I just say, when God get ready for that man coming to my life, he's gonna send him to me, and I believe wholeheartedly I would know who that person is. But until then, I'm just fine like I am, raising these three little girls, and I just don't want. I see so many women that bring these men into their lives, and you all have read it. You have seen the news where these kids are abused by these men, and they're I have to say, they have to been abused by the men have abused that mother as well in some sense. It might not be, but mentally he have done something to that woman that woman know this is not good for me. This is not good for my children.
That's right. I thank you for that. And we are going to do a show soon for single women, and I would love for you to come back on that show. So I would definitely send you something out personally, because I would love for you to come, you know, and discuss that with us, because we do have single women that are waiting on husbands. And what you said was very, you know, encouraging. And I think that a lot of, you know, especially younger women should hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Although you still want a relationship, but you know, you're in a place of where I'll wait. And so that's a good thing. I'd rather wait for the right one than to be in the wrong relationship. And that says a lot.
And yeah, you know.
Because there are a lot of women
that are. Exactly. You don't want these girls coming up thinking it's okay that I can be with this man and that man. No, it's not okay. And I'm not going to set that example for them, because that's not okay. I'm going to set a God example for them. You got children that see so much of what their parents are doing, and because they have no respect, and I truly say that, no respect for that child. And these children are doing any and everything. So yeah, but I don't mean to get off on a, you know, different topic, but I was just trying to keep that abuse, you know, in order here. But yeah, I'd be more than happy to do that, you know that.
Yes, we would love for you to come back. We really would. Does anyone have anything else to say before we go on? You got something, babe?
Yes, we have one more caller to enter.
Okay.
2488.
It's Mom.
Hey. All right. Caller ending in 24888. You on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Mom. Good. How are you?
Everybody?
Good.
Well, good. I was listening to the young lady talking about, I didn't get into all the, I mean, cause I just got in on telling you that about her abusive situation that she was in. I work with abused women for a few years, and I saw some all kinds of things and what these women had gone through with. Some of the women feel as though they stay in some of these situations because they feel as though it's better to have him and not have a man at all, which is a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to, what those women have to do, they have to find value. Let them say, no, I'm valuable. You know, it's just no, I don't have to go through this. I was abused, too, in my marriage. And I was married for 7 years. You got verbal abuse, physical abuse. Got all kinds of abuse. I was looking at the talk. I don't know if you all saw this, where the father was boxing with the son. Did you all see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a sad thing. That's abuse.
What happened?
Yes, ma'am. I saw it too.
The son was one being a grown person's position. This is what the father said. So he was going to teach him how to be a grown man and show him what grown people do. And he put on boxing gloves and got to fighting, you know, boxing with his son.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that.
And the young man was but 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, after he was through with the young man, that boy was bleeding everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's abuse.
Mm-hmm.
That was no way to try to teach him something. Because if what he's teaching him, I can do the same thing when I get a child, when I become a father. So we have to be wise in choosing. Like you said, you're going to wait on God, that God will see you, the man. He, like Eve, he put those two together. And the scripture said, when a man findeth a wife, I haven't seen where it said, when a wife findeth a man. It said, when a man findeth a wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a good thing that you have chose to live that life for your grandchildren, you say?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's a good thing. You have put your life on hold. And some people don't understand that. Sexual abuse, what they do to, with the kids, you got to be careful with that. You got to be real careful about your children. And these days, back when I was young, it was going on in the families. We used to think, white men were the only ones that were sexual abusing their children or their stepchildren. But that was black people. That black men were doing the same thing, but they kept theirs hid. And it wasn't just stepfathers. It was fathers as well. I know of several situations, which I'm not going to get into, but I know several situations that went, families that went through that. And it does something to the child that has been abused. Now, going back to the women, and I want to say this too, women abuse men. Mm-hmm. And a man, you would keep it to himself. And I'm going to tell you why he keeps it to himself, that he don't want people to know, because they think of him as less than a man. But the man does get abused. When I was working, where I was working at the shelter, I saw all kinds of things, which was a dangerous job, really. We received several threats on our lives, but somebody had to help. Somebody had to stand. In fact, one man came on the property, and I called my supervisor, let her know that he was there, and she called the sheriff's department, and they came out and found out he had a knife on him. His wife was there. The wife didn't let him know where he was, but the courts had given the father visitation right with the children, and the children told their father where they were living. Our court system also has messed up. We need to make sure you know who you vote for. Learn something about these people. Because, like I said, in these courts, they don't know. But being abused is a secret thing. Most women keep it a secret. And men will abuse their wife by when they beat up on them up under their clothes. They don't want nobody to know that this is what they do. Women put on a face. Did you all see Mother Dill's family reunion?
Yes, ma'am.
And the daughter was being abused by the man she was engaged to?
Yes, ma'am.
And she kept it here. And when she told her mom just brushed it off. And that's another thing women won't tell, because they think that people think that they're lying when they're not. So I just wanted to come in and let you know a little about abuse. There's a lot of material out there that you can go and get. You can go to the library. There are signs. We can look and see the signs. If you've been around someone that in a hurry to get home and they're like agitated, nervous, those are signs. I got to get home before my husband gets out. Those are signs that this person is being abused. And we need to keep our eyes open. Because you can save somebody's life by knowing some of the signs. And if God speaks to you to talk to that person, you talk to that person. But the person going to make their own mind up what they're going to do, but you still can been informed there, they don't have to stay in that situation because there's help out there. So it won't turn out like wife killing the husband or the husband killing the wife and they got kids. See, all this about that. So let us be mindful when we keep your eyes on, like I said, there are material out there, especially if you have been abused. I would go and get some material and learn what I can about abuse, because you can save somebody else's life if you just save one life and let them know you are valuable. The Bible says you are valuable. You are a treasure. So they have low self-esteem or no self-esteem. So in letting them know that who they are would help them to reach out to someone to come out of that situation. It can be done. A lot of people are fearful and say, well, I'm judging, being nosy. What's another word? You're interfering.
Mm-hmm.
But if you save a life, save that life. So that's all I got to say.
Well, thank you for that wisdom, Mom. And I want to just expound on some of the things that you said when you even talked about recognizing the signs of people that are abused. Mm-hmm. Another thing that is a sign is isolation. If you know someone that is always, you know, they've always been outgoing, they, you know, always at the family gatherings, going out with their friends, doing this and doing that, and then they get in a relationship, and before you know it, they are being cut off from family, they're being cut off from friends, they're scared to talk on the phone, they're not showing up to anything anymore, there is a strong possibility that that person is being abused. Because that is something that an abuser does. They isolate the person. And I do hope that we have, you know, listeners out there, people that are listening. And if you recognize this or if you are one that this is happening to, that is not okay. That is not okay. Also, always being accused of things such as cheating. You are always the one that is at fault whenever there's an argument. All of those are signs of being in a domestic violence situation. And sometimes you really don't realize that you are. I, too, was in one when I was when I was a teenager up to my early 20s. And my mom would talk to me, but I didn't want to hear what she had to say. I didn't want to hear what she had to say, but it's not okay. It's not okay, and women, we have to know this. It's not okay for a man to call you out of your name. It's not okay for a man to call you a B. That is not okay. That is not acceptable. That is not normal. That is not okay, and we have to know as women that we are better than that.
That's right.
I know I have upset my husband probably to the highest level he could go. But never has he called me out of my name. Never has he put his hands on me in an abusive way or an aggressive way. We do not have to deal with that. It is not okay, and we have to know that. And another thing, in the Christian community, because we do have a lot of teachings on marriage, and we know that the husband is the head of the wife, and we know that the wife is to be respectful. We have to understand that people take that and they misuse all of that. They misuse those scriptures. And so you have women that think they are doing the Christ-like thing by staying with their husbands that are abusing them. Well, I can't get a divorce. I can't leave him. He didn't cheat on me. He's he's ahead of me, he's over me, you know, these type of things. But the Bible also says that a man is to love his wife as Christ loves the church.
Love the church.
So we need to realize and gave himself for it. So there's that part there. They're supposed to be gentle with us. There's a way that they're supposed to treat us. There's a way that we're supposed to treat them, and there's a way that they're supposed to treat us.
So we have to an abuser, like you were saying, that they feel as though they can call you anything, out your name. Now, I'm going to talk about a little on mine, on what I went through with. My husband tried to keep me away from my family. And like you were saying, all saying you cheating, trying to keep you home, you wouldn't go to work, saying I'm going to work and hiding around seeing what you're doing. You know, that I went through all that. And I went through the black eyes. I went through all of that. Because one thing, though, I did. I fought back. I did fight back. I let him keep me away from my family, especially my mom. I wasn't going to do that. So I stood. And that made him really more, what you want to call it, angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I still stood. I still fought for myself. And I did get out of that situation because it had escalated so much that I was getting ready to kill this man. And my attorney told me I needed to get out before I kill him or he killed me. We had got to that place. Didn't nobody help me get out of that situation as for talking to me. You know, I had some family members and friends to help me to physically get out of it, you know. He was looking for me, couldn't find me. Finally, he did find me. Somebody told him where I was. When I know that he had found me, I left where I was, but I came back home. Not to him. I came back to Jamaica. And, he did a lot of stuff. Threatened my family, threatened to set the house on fire, taking out a restraining order. He wasn't studying that restraining order. I was coming home from work, and he pulled up in front of me and pointed a gun at me and told me to get in the car. I had no choice. And I got in there because I had a daughter. And I was not going to let her go through this. And I wanted to be a mother for her. So I did go back. But eventually, I left. And I have not been back since. But you know what? God put something in me. Because I had gotten a lot of hate. Freed me from that. He put love in my heart. And I have a love for him like a brother and sister. We can talk to each other now. Oh, I have no problem with it. But it took something for me to go through to get out of there, feeling that I was so low. One thing he didn't ever tell me, he never told me, he never did call me a B. I never heard him call me a B. If he called me one, I didn't hear it. But like I said, I always was faced with a whole lot of physical stuff. I could write a book. That's what I've gone through. People would say, looking at you, I don't believe you went through all that. Yes, I did. That's why I'm one of the advocates now fighting for abused women. I would fight for their rights. But anyway, and like Quadron was saying about some of the signs, those were the signs that I had. Try to keep me to myself, away from my friends. If my friend came over, they would leave, you know. because he was so disrespectful. But like I said, I thought that if he would not let them come there, I went to hell. I went to my friend's house. I did that. Because I feel like if I hadn't, and I had yielded to letting him control me. See, that's one thing about abuse. They want to control you. They want to tell you when to eat, when to sleep, what to wear, what to say. But you got to have it in you to know this is not what God has for you. So I just wanted to share that with you because I was listening to quite a bit calling out these signs, and I had quite a bit of the signs that she was saying. Well, I had friends knew that I was being abused, but my family did. My family did not know until I finally told them. I had one good friend, and she's my friend right to this day. All the others gone, but this friend has stood by me. She was there when I was going through. And I love her, never judged, but saw what was happening. So I just wanted to let you know the signs that she's calling out. Those were some of my signs.
Thank you, Mom. And there are a lot of people that are experiencing that. And we just want to let you know, if you are in an abusive relationship, find a way to get out safely. Find a way to get out safely. There are a lot of resources out there, I think probably more now, Mom, than there were then. When you were going through your situation, there are a lot of resources out there. So if a man is isolating you from your family, or a woman, because like we said, it could be either one, isolating you from your family, demeaning you, calling you out of your name, being very jealous, very possessive, you have to report everywhere you go, everything you do. Anytime you leave out the house, they're blowing up your cell phone 50 times, wondering where you are. You come home, they're angry if you didn't answer the phone one time. All of these things are abuse. Even husbands and wives, if you're being forced to have sex when you don't want to, that is abuse. And I'm going to pass the phone to my husband. I'm going to let him talk about that a little bit because that's what he did in the military, Sharp. So I'm going to let you talk about the sexual abuse part for a little bit, babe.
Okay, so with sexual assault is deemed as unwanted touching in your private areas, unwanted touching without consent. You know, coming up as a young man, I can remember there were times where, you know, you would see where men would literally walk up on women, you know, and call themselves trying to tell them what we call back in the day, holler at them. And they would just grab on them and grope women, you know, very inappropriate. And that is that's also a form of sexual assault. But when it comes to the marriage aspect, right, a lot of people tend to not believe that it's that way. And I've even heard where cases where there are men that said, well, she's my wife, so you know, and if I want to have sex with her, I'm gonna have sex with her whether she wants to or not. Those are the type of things that, you know, should not happen in any relationship, whether it's a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship or whether it's a husband or wife relationship. You know, no means no. And you know, the sexual assault cases
for married couples were for a longest of time in many states, they were not deemed unlawful when it was with a married couple. But now, you know, being that sexual assault, sexual harassment, and things of that nature are on the rise, which again is another form of abuse, now it's being exposed and brought out to the forefront. And women and my callers on the air, our callers on the air for the show, we ask that you, if you know someone who's been involved in sexual assault, or know someone who's been sexually assaulted, or if you see those signs, just as my wife said earlier, then make sure you report it. You know, because I would rather have a friend that would be mad at me for a while and be alive than to have a friend that I didn't speak up about that's dead and I have that on my conscience. And that's pretty much all I have to say.
And I wanted to discuss a little bit before we leave some of the reasons that people do not tell that they're being abused. We know we're some men embarrassed. Women in embarrassment as well. Sometimes they focus on the good. Well, he apologized. He didn't mean to. We had a good time yesterday. Well, he's good most of the time. It's just when he gets angry. And so we tend to minimize the abuse because he's good a lot of the time. We laughed yesterday. It's still not okay. If he's an abuser, he's still an abuser. If she's an abuser, she's still an abuser. And so we have to make sure that we're not doing that. But this is some of the things that happens. Like my husband mentioned earlier, feeling financially dependent. Well, I can't make it without him. I don't have anything. I don't have any resources. And so they stay because of that. Their children have been threatened. He said he would kill my kids. I can't allow him to do that. So they stay. They are afraid. A lot of women stay because they are afraid. And, you know, they accept the blame. Well, if I can change, he'll stop. It's all my fault. I did it. I make him upset. I get him to this place. So I have to change me. I have to stop doing what I'm doing so that I won't get him to this place. No, you don't get him to this place. No, he's an abuser. He can walk away. You can walk away. When it gets that heated, everybody just needs to walk away. Everybody needs to walk away. So these are some of the reasons why women don't leave. And what I would like to ask you, baby, and the callers, what would you say to family members who know people that are being abused? We know talk to them. We know that. But what would you say to family members or friends who know people who have or are being abused and they are reaching out, and they're reaching out, but the person is defensive, they don't want to hear it. Not even that they're afraid, but they just don't want to hear it. They don't believe it. And in certain situations, you know, because sometimes you can talk to an abused person, you help them that day, and then they end up turning on you for the abuser. So do you all have any suggestions for family members who know people that are in that situation, but they're not listening at this point? Anybody?
You said now I have encountered it. Either way,
if we have anybody out there that know people, family or friends, that are in situations and they're trying to talk to them and reach out to them, but the people are not listening. Women, whether it be women, men, whatever, but they're not listening. What would you say to the family members or the friends?
Can you hear me?
I can.
I would say, and I'm gonna speak because I've been in those shoes where I did not tell my family member, and like the mother, I told a friend. I had friends that knew. You know, I say all the time, and what I used to use, and I don't like to use that word, you know, in a negative way. But, you know, even though we know what we're going through, and as I said, you are the first one that know that this is not right for me. When you have someone that you constantly talk to and let them know that there is somewhere to go, and that person might not want to hear that because they are too afraid to leave. And you don't know the fear that that person has put in that individual. But I have to turn to prayer. I have to pray. Mm-hmm. And ask God to help this situation. You know all about it. And I have to tell God that you know all about this situation, and you know what's going on. You know, you just pray. You just pray for them, because you can't make grown folk do nothing. Right. That's just the bottom line. You can't make them do nothing that they don't want to do. And I'm encountering some situations now that you can tell that husband is in control of you, that you can't do nothing. You can't talk on the phone. You can't, it's just certain things you can't do. But that person, I don't feel, is ready to say what she cannot do right now. And I always say sometimes, you know, God, just like me, when you get tired of being tired, then there's nothing no one can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
About that situation. But you got to be tired of being tired. And it's just hard to just go into a situation where that person don't want to leave out of it. And you constantly telling them. But my thing is, I used to say, you know, we all know when we being a fool. And I don't even like to use that word. Because that can go a lot of ways, because you just don't know how scared that person is until you get in that situation. And once you get in that situation, then you can understand. So I don't even like to use that word fool. Although I felt like I was one. I did. I felt like I was a straight fool, and no, I didn't need to be in that. But when you grow in the Lord, you do better. You learn, and you practice what you've been through, and you practice and you preach, because you know I've been there, and a person that has not been there can't really tell you too much of what to do. They really can't. They say they can, but they don't know the fear that person has. They really don't. So I just say, when that person gets tired of being tired, and may God forbid no one get hurt before that person is tired, just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of prayer is needed.
Thank you.
I really
Thank
do.
You.
One thing she said, I agree with the wholeheartedly, about going being in an abusive relationship. You got to know if you had never been in one. And they will reject it. Reject what you're saying. But then, you know, your life, what you went through with, that's the greatest problem solved. When you share things like that with them, they want to know, what did you do? How did you get out of it? And you can do
Only thing you can do is just warn them. When you see this, they have to make that decision themselves. I am a prophetess, and I do see things. And I saw this young lady's situation, but she wouldn't listen to me. I did not push her. I didn't do anything like that. I just told her what I saw. And do you know it came to pass? It did come to pass. Let your heart speak as well as your mind and your eyes, your spirit. Let your spirit speak to someone that's in an abusive relationship. But the best thing, like I say, to help them is to share your life. How did you get out of it? So you said, you asked that question, what would you say to them? I would tell them, I was once like you. Mm-hmm. That's what I would tell them. But I made it. I got out. And you can too. I would tell them. I shared my story.
And, Mom, as you said, you know, a lot of people stay in these relationships because even though they're being abused, they're being taken care of financially. They don't have a worry financially, and they feel that they got to stay there to take that. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to. You don't. No, you don't. Please, no, you do not have to do that. So God gave each of us a gift.
That's right.
He gave each of us a gift. And the other thing that I would like to say, I know you were talking about Madea, the movie Madea, where that abuse was there. But as you can tell her mother, and it's sad that we can even have parents that won't even protect our own children.
That's right.
That is so sad. It's all about a dollar.
All about material.
Yes. And I don't have, you know, my story, people know, my kids are not alive. All three of them are deceased now. But you know what? They were the joy of my life. And I would fight to the end for my children, knowing that they was right. I'm not going to let nobody hurt them. And sometimes we as parents, we sit up and we condone that violence. We condone it. And I haven't been able to understand that yet. But we do. We condone that violence. You already know what your child is doing. You know what your child is capable of doing. But yet, you will still sit there and protect him.
Right.
Or protect her. You would do that.
Right.
And you got so many women out here that are abusing men, as well as men abusing women. You have it both ways.
You do.
And all you got to do is ask yourself, even if you get in that type of relationship, this is not what God put upon me.
That's right.
God has something better for me. He want me to be loved. And that L-O-V-E word is a powerful word.
Yes, it is.
It's a powerful word. And I don't see what no man or no woman have to sit up and take it. That's unacceptable. But I say this too, you got some men that fight women because they scared of men. They scared to fight a man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once that woman get out of her spirit, as I did, and fought back, Watch how fast they bat the ball.
One thing we need to let them know, too, that they got to learn to love themselves.
That's right.
Once they start,
you can't love me. You can't love me without loving yourself.
That's right. But like you say, some of them stay in the relationship because they feel they don't have a way out. And another reason, they stay in there, like you said, finances. They would rather have it, but then some, like the husband or the wife, have degraded them that they feel as though they can't make it on their own.
Right. They don't feel like they can't.
Right out. Yeah.
Yep. Nobody else is going to want you. Nobody else will deal with you.
But like I said, there are resources out there. When I was working with battered women, we helped these women to start a new life. And you, if you know anybody or you being abused, you can start a new life. You might have to move to another place, but you can have that life. But first, submit yourself to Jesus Christ. And
right.
He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So if you're not walking with Jesus Christ, submit yourself to Jesus Christ. And if you are with Jesus Christ, God have you covered. But speak to somebody about your situation. Tell somebody what you're going through. And they can send you to your place. That can be done. I know it can be done.
Well, that is so true. So before we get ready to get off the line, I do want to give some resources, actually. There's the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. You can go to their website. Again, the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Then there is a national domestic hotline, 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. There are some sources online for husbands that are being abused. The United States Department of Justice, they have an office on violence against women for women that are being abused. So there are resources out there. So we encourage anyone, again, that is in that situation, if you're in a relationship where you are being controlled, where you have a jealous mate, where you are being demeaned all the time and the things and the other things isolated, the other things that we have talked about on tonight, there is help available. Get help. Like we've all said, you deserve better than that. Know your worth. You deserve better than that. Your children deserve better than that, because we do know that there are effects on the children. If you have sons or daughters that are raised in that environment, they themselves can end up getting into relationships where they are abused, or they can themselves become abusers. So we do want to know that they are affected, and that is not what we want. So there is help. There is help available. Maybe did you have anything else to say? Okay. So we do appreciate all of our callers coming on tonight. This was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful topic, wonderful show. I am so grateful that you all came on. You shared your stories, and you gave words of encouragement to everyone. So everyone, again, know that there's help available. You're worth it. It doesn't matter. If you're Christian, you do not have to be in a relationship where you are being abused. That is not God's plan for your life. Is there anything else anybody else would like to say before we close out on tonight?
I enjoyed it.
Well, I would like to say this. You know, tomorrow was supposed to be a day honoring all parents or family members that had lost their loved ones. And that was going to be a march in the morning at 7 o'clock.
Mm.
And a concert following at 7:30, which I always mess up his name, but his name is Dietrich.
Dietrich Haddon?
But he got sick and is not going to make that concert. So we're going to cancel this to another time here in Macon.
Okay.
I did want to say that.
Do you have a public website, Faye, where we, you know, tell people to go to, or do you just have... Or do you want everybody to come to your website? Or have you started a public website yet?
There's one called Healing of Affliction website. Not really a website, but I think you can go in and pull up Healing of Affliction. Have you seen that?
I haven't. Is it a Facebook page? On Facebook?
You know what? I think so. I'm not for sure. Because I didn't do it. Danny Glover did that page for me.
Okay. Healing
and
of...
Healing of Affliction. Peacekeepers, Healing of Affliction.
Okay.
And,
so
of course,
have...
so you know, you can always see me on Facebook.
Yes. We ask that you all go find the page. Faye, I would also love for you to... start posting some of your things on the Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein page, your walks and, you know, everything that you're doing. So you all will also be able to see what's going on there. I just love the fact that we're coming together. We're talking about these issues even more. We know people are talking about them, but we're talking about them even more. And we're trying to make a difference. And I also want to say this about the domestic violence for family and I just say to you all, or someone that's in a situation, I say to you all, also be careful because we do know situations where we get in, family and friends get involved and they turn out getting killed as well. So when you are helping someone that's in a domestic violence situation, you all take precautions as well. We do have a caller on the line. I just want to see if she has anything to say before we close out. Keisha, did you have anything to say about the show, or were you just...
No, I don't. I just caught the last part of it, unfortunately. So I haven't heard most of it, but I did want to switch when I could tonight.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were streaming and called in to say something. Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling. Again, thank you, everyone. We love you guys. Everyone, enjoy your weekend, and we will be back here on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Y'all have a great weekend. Mm-hmm.